Fifth case is Lee v. Young. Mr. Davis?
May it please the Court? This Court should reverse the District Court's grant of summary judgment in this case because Flint Lee submitted sufficient evidence to support a finding of deliberate indifference. Beginning with Flint Lee's January 29, 2001 transfer to Shawnee Prison, there was significant evidence of his serious medical condition. The IDOC health status report that was submitted along with his transfer identified Lee as an acute asthmatic and further detailed his participation in the asthma clinic. Shortly after that transfer, sometime in February 2001, Flint Lee suffered an asthma attack. And shortly after that, again at sometime in February 2001, Dr. Alfonso David at Shawnee wrote that Flint Lee should be assigned to Unit 1A, the medical unit, for health reasons.
Now, that attack was prompted by some kind of an intestinal disorder, wasn't it?
The record is unclear, I believe, Your Honor, as to what exactly prompted that order. The order itself, the memorandum from Dr. David, doesn't specify.
But it was something more than just, I guess you wouldn't say it's something more than just secondhand smoke. Wasn't there some aggravating circumstances?
There may have been another reason that he was transferred to the Unit 1A.
Well, certainly asthma, but it was set off by something else. I'm not clear on that. That's why I guess I'm sort of asking that.
It's unclear from the record, Your Honor. So by that time, Lee was in Unit 1A in a non-smoking cell. And on March 16th, he filed a grievance about secondhand smoke. The grievance identified not only problems with generally his complaints about ETS, but specifically identified in that March 16th grievance that he was a severe asthmatic and that being a severe asthmatic furthers the threat of secondhand tobacco smoke to Mr. Lee. Now, that grievance was reviewed by a grievance officer. The grievance officer deemed that it had merit and deferred to the chief administrative officer, defendant Warden Donald Young, to take appropriate action. Warden Young concurred with that grievance, recommended that Lee should be placed in a non-smoking cell. Unfortunately, that was not done, and this prompted Lee to have to write a letter to Donald Young to clarify that he was already in a non-smoking cell, but his complaint was about the fact that his cellmate smoked.
What did you say that was not done? He was already in a non-smoking cell. That was all that Soup said, wasn't just he should be in a non-smoking cell?
Donald Young recommended that the inmate should be in a non-smoking cell.
And that was a non-smoking cell.
He already was in one.
It was a non-smoking cell, but Lee's cellmate was smoking in the non-smoking cell. And that was the basis of...
He didn't bother suing his cellmate, I assume.
He did not sue his cellmate. Might
even have a class action if you looked at it carefully.
At that point, he made it clear to Donald Young that the problem wasn't that he was in a non-smoking cell. It was that the rules weren't being enforced in that cell. And nothing was done in response to that. There's no evidence that Lee's cellmate was removed in response to that complaint. Lee filed two other grievances in May of 2001. May 15th, he filed a grievance that complained that he was in a non-smoking cell, but again that his cellmate was smoking. And May 22nd, he filed a grievance stating that 99% of the purported non-smoking cells had smokers, and that was contaminating the environment. Through all of this, so with the March 16th grievance and with Donald Young's concurrence, he understood the problem that Lee was an asthmatic and that he was surrounded by secondhand smoke in his own cell that was purported to be non-smoking. Subsequent grievances revealed that nothing was done about the fact that the cellmate was smoking in the non-smoking cell.
He got some kind of a citation, didn't he? The smoker?
Lee's cellmate received one disciplinary ticket for violating the tobacco policy. The cellmate was not removed as a removed from the cell for a violation of the non-smoking policy. And
did
when
he
you
go
look,
on smoking?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Did he go on smoking?
Lee's complaints continued, yes, that the cellmate was smoking in the non-smoking cell.
That is to say, after the citation, he continued to smoke?
There is evidence that after the citation was issued, Lee continued to complain about his cellmate smoking, at least through March of 2002, which is the second year of his incarceration at Shawnee.
So his big problem was he didn't have a non-smoking wing, or whatever you call it, separate part.
That's
nobody
correct.
Smoked, or I guess people that didn't want to smoke.
There was not a separate and completely non-smoking wing at Shawnee, no.
And he also complained about the ventilation. It took a couple of months to clear that up.
In 2002, he complained that the ventilation in the housing unit was not working. He filed a grievance to that effect, and it was at least 2 months before the ventilation system in the unit was repaired. So,
he was getting some kind of medication along the way. This is inhalers and drugs and some other things that worked to some extent, but the overall problem wasn't cured. That was his main problem.
He received treatment from the prison medical staff. He received his prescriptions. He had his asthma medication. But that did nothing to get rid of the environmental factors, the smoking in his cell that aggravated his chronic asthma. And there's evidence in the record from his complaints to the medical staff that his asthma was being aggravated.
And he got out at the end of 2002?
Yes, December 30th of 2002, he was released from Shawnee. The critical part about Lee's smoking cellmate is that the non-smoking policy that was in effect at Shawnee gave the warden, Donald Young, broad discretion to enforce the policy, and also requires that if a prison official observes a violation of the non-smoking policy, that offending cellmate shall be removed from the non-smoking cell. So the terms of the policy require that an offending cellmate be removed from a non-smoking cell if he is observed smoking there. Lee made numerous complaints to his grievances that his cellmate was smoking in the cell. Warden Young agreed that Lee should have a non-smoking cell, but nothing was done to remove the cellmate for violating that policy. And those two factors, when you consider Lee's extensive medical records and the grievance that Donald Young agreed with about Lee's severe asthmatic, that shows that Donald Young knew about the problem, and the fact that nothing was done beyond ticketing the cellmate when the non-smoking policy provided that someone could be removed, that shows deliberate indifference to that serious medical need. And if the court, unless the court has further questions, I'd like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Ms. Hoover.
May it please the Court, Rachel Hoover, Assistant Illinois Attorney General, appearing on behalf of defendants. Your Honors, this Court should affirm the grant of summary judgment because Lee has not presented sufficient evidence that he suffered from an objectively serious harm because of exposure to smoke at Shawnee, or that all of the defendants knew of and deliberately disregarded a substantial risk to his health. Nor has he defeated defendants' defense of qualified immunity. Judge Mannion, to answer the question you had first about the attack that Lee had at Shawnee, the record shows, and I'm looking at SA 124 and 125, that immediately prior to that attack, he was experiencing severe abdominal pain that he reported caused his asthma to act up. And at the point that he was referred to the medical wing, which is not an infirmary, it's just a wing at the prison where patients who might need some more attention are sent. It's not actually like an infirmary. But at the point that he was sent to the medical wing, he had not complained of any exposure to tobacco smoke. And the record does show that at that time he was experiencing abdominal pain that caused his asthma to act up.
I assume they weren't smoking in the medical wing.
Well, the medical wing, that wing, it's 1A, is a non-smoking, there are the non-smoking cells there. And where
well,
Lee was...
cells, I mean, is anywhere else in that wing? Is
it well, it's not, calling it the medical wing, it's a wing just like any other. And certain cells were designated non-smoking. And Lee was sent to the designated non-smoking cells in that wing.
Okay.
And that goes to the first point and the first reason why summary judgment should be affirmed, which is that Lee was not suffering from objectively serious harm. We acknowledge and agree Lee was a chronic asthmatic. But if you look at the medications that he was receiving when he arrived at Shawnee in January of 2001 and his prescription when he left Shawnee in December of 2002, his asthma court prescription, which is a preventative inhaled medicine, was the same strength as when he arrived. When he arrived, it was 2 puffs 4 times a day. When he left, it was 4 puffs 2 times a day. That's the same amount of medicine. The fact that he says he had to increase use of his albuterol inhaler, which is used when you are experiencing some breathing difficulties, does not show the kind of serious harm that's required for Eighth Amendment liability. And his own self-reported symptoms here are not extreme. He says he wheezed, he coughed, he had difficulty breathing. This is discomfort, yes, but this court has said that these kinds of symptoms do not rise to the level of serious harm required for the Eighth Amendment. The counsel didn't touch on his future health claim, nor was it really developed below. There's no medical evidence at all submitted that he has an increased risk of future health problems. The jury would be left to speculate, and that's insufficient. Nor has Lee met his burden on the defendant's state of mind, an independent reason why summary judgment should be affirmed. He hasn't shown that each defendant was deliberately indifferent. Didn't touch on the commissary defendants, so I won't spend time on them. But there is no evidence of any culpable state of mind on behalf of defendants Fields and Hicks. Focusing then on the warden and housing placement officer, there's no evidence that they actually subjectively believed that Lee was in serious danger. As non-medical officials, they were entitled to rely on the medical staff, who was exhaustively treating Lee for his asthma. He went to the asthma clinic. He was given a lot of medications. He was seen every time he wanted to be seen. These defendants were entitled to believe that the medical staff was taking care of any concerns about Lee's asthma. As for Lee's grievances about the smoke, they were responded to. They did fix the ventilation system. They did move him to non-smoking cells within what was available at this facility. There's no requirement that they transfer him out of Shawnee, especially when the conditions that he was experiencing.
This has absolutely nothing at all to do with the case, but where is the Shawnee Correction Center?
Shawnee is way south.
Polk County?
Oh, I don't know which county. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I know that it is it's very far south. You're almost to Kentucky.
Well, so it's Polk County. You fall in the river if you keep going. But,
so it's down south. The second aspect of the deliberate indifference is the defendant's response. So first of all, they didn't know that there was any serious danger here. But secondly, their reactions were not indifferent. This is not the kind of reckless behavior that the court has found to violate the Eighth Amendment. And finally, to touch on the qualified immunity argument, Even if this court finds a constitutional violation here, Lee has not cited any factually similar cases finding an Eighth Amendment violation. The defendant's reaction here fell within a spectrum of possible reactions. They tried to decrease his exposure to smoke. They gave him unfettered access to medication. There's no case saying that an inmate in this situation is additionally required to have a completely smoke-free environment. So defendants here could not reasonably have known that their actions violated the Constitution. Unless the court has further questions, we ask that you affirm.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you.
Mr. Davis?
Just to respond to those points, the fact that with the recommendation that Lee be housed in Unit 1A, the medical unit, just because what prompted that was an unrelated complaint about his asthma, doesn't mean that Dr. David did not review the health status report that identified Lee as an acute asthmatic. Then that may have been a factor contributing to the transfer. Regardless, Lee was in a non-smoking cell. The non-smoking rule wasn't enforced. That Lee's prescriptions were at the same level as they were at the end of his incarceration at Shawnee as at the beginning. Also, the court must consider the fact that the record shows Lee has complained about using his prescriptions more. He was using more puffs from his asthma inhaler than was prescribed. He was essentially medicating himself more than what the prescription needed. On the qualified immunity point, the case law is clear that Flint Lee does not have to show a case finding an Eighth Amendment violation in an identical situation. The case law was clear during his incarceration that exposure to secondhand smoke is, in some circumstances, actionable under the Eighth Amendment. And that was clear with Estelle, Steading v. Thompson, and in this court. And the mere fact alone that the defendants responded at some level to Lee's complaints, such as issuing the ticket, fixing the ventilation fan after 2 months, does not preclude a finding of deliberate indifference. The court has to consider the fact that a reasonable fact finder might find these steps were constitutionally deficient. And as to the state of mind, defendant Young clearly was aware of Lee's asthmatic problem in his response to the grievance.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Thank you, Ms. Hoover. The case is taken under advisement.